So we just started Shmuel Beis. We're in chapter 2. And we finished David's lament for the loss of Shaul in Yonason. It wasn't so much a personal lament as it was what they meant for the Jewish people. And we're talking about how they brought security to the land. And as they were alive, they protected us against our enemies. And it was a tragedy that somehow this one time it didn't work. Like they went out to battle. How could it be? We mentioned that the big lament we do on Tisha B'Av, Eicha, also is how. Like the word Eicha means how could it be? Like it's a wonder. How could it have happened? Sometimes when we look at a tragedy, we ask questions. How could it be? It's like, how did it happen? How did, one of the things mentioned, we actually use in our memorial prayers, which is kind of the, one of the last verses there in the lament. It's in 23. So it says that they were, it's just a very beautiful way of describing, it says, Shaul v'Yonathan hanahavim b'ne'imim b'chayehem. They were beloved and they were pleasant in their lifetime. Now, what is one? You can love somebody, but does that mean they're pleasant? I don't. What are the two things? Beloved and pleasant. People love them, and you don't always love your monarch. You know, you love your king. You know, you don't always. They were beloved. Some people say this describes the father and the son's relationship, which is interesting because we saw that they did fight. You know, remember when Yonason picked David and the father lifted up his spear? And so it doesn't mean that just because you occasionally have a fight means you don't love each other, right? That's also an interesting lesson. What does it mean also that they're not separated? Does it mean they're not separated from one another? And then we talked about the idea that people are reunited with their loved ones in heaven. That's the simple meaning of the verse. And even though they died, it means that they died together, but also in heaven they'll be together. Or it means that their sacrifice for the Jewish people will never be forgotten. They were our first kings. They protected us when we were beginning our nation. And therefore, even though they're gone, they're not gone because their work was not in vain. They saved us. And then we just talked about them being, light like an eagle and like a lion. So an eagle means, apparently birds, in a second, they can fly. They're not like a car where you have to ignite them and they have to get going and zoom. All of a sudden, sometimes people are lazy, it takes them time. They were very quick. They're light like an eagle. And then a lion, whenever we talk about strength, a lion is the king of the beasts. It can go up against and it also uses that to describe them. Okay, so he mentions that, and now we're going to begin really what happens after the death of Shaul. Let's begin chapter base. Vayhi acher kein, and it was after this. V'yishol David b'Hashem, and David asked Hashem le'emor ha'ala b'achas v'ariyah. Should we go back? Now this might sound like a strange question. Of course, David would want to go back. David was going to be king. One of the things, one of Shaul's challenges was that sometimes he acted without asking Hashem what to do. If you remember, when he didn't destroy Amalek, he didn't do what Hashem wanted him to do, or when he destroyed the city of Kohanim. So David is a different king, and he shows that whatever he did something, he did with asking Hashem first. And so we find that throughout David's life, that he, even though he was a great person, he always wanted to seek advice. And we might think, well, great people don't seek advice. It's the opposite. A great person is somebody that does the right thing, but makes sure that it's the right thing. And we find that David had advisors, and David listened to those advisors. And a person shouldn't think, sometimes people that are arrogant think that means that they know it all. But sometimes there's nothing wrong in a person getting advice and speaking to other people. And so that's one of the hallmarks of David HaMelech, was that he did have other people that he went to for advice. And we're going to see that if he did something wrong, the prophet would call him in and bawl him out. That was it, you know. Or we're going to see that even the rabbis sometimes would argue with David in halacha or law, that because he was open to that. He wanted, he didn't surround himself with yes men. He wanted to do what was right. So the first thing, Shaul died. So what's the next step? Let's ask God. We don't have that luxury today for the most part. I mean, we can't, you know, we wish we did. You know, we could ask Hashem what the next step would be. But sometimes we can go to people who might be more in tune to help us, you know, with the right decisions or the right things. So David said, Ha'ala ba'achas, should I go up to the cities of Yehuda? Now, it's interesting. David did not want to force himself on the Jewish people. You could say that Shaul died, and so he should make an announcement. I'm the anointed one. You know, pick me. I'm going for the election. That was not David's way. And that's a lesson in of itself. In other words, a leader is somebody who the people recognize their leadership and ask that person to. We find that almost like Moshe Rabbeinu had to be asked to do the job, or even Shaul originally didn't want to do the job. Leaders are not people that are looking to be the boss of everybody. Those aren't the kind of people you want. You want people that are, because they're the best candidate, they're chosen, but not because they relish the idea of telling everybody else what to do. So David really, he wanted to go back to the Eretz Yisrael. He didn't go back and proclaim himself king. That was Hashem's. If Hashem wanted him to be king, then it would happen. He didn't need to do that. So his question was where to go from here. So he was from the tribe of Yehuda, so he figured out that he would go back to Yehuda. So let's see what Hashem says. V'yom Hashem elav, Allah, go up. V'yom David, Allah, where should I go? Hashem says, go to Hebron. And this is why Hebron is one of the important cities. I mean, really, Hebron is the city where the Avos are buried, the Maris HaMakpelah, the burial cave. But also, it was the original city where King David lived. And he was our monarchy, the origin of our monarchy is from Hebron. On a mystical level, we're going to see that before David leads the Jewish people, he spends a few years in Hebron. Anybody want to guess what the significance of that would be? Why would he go to Hebron? I mean, there's go to Yerushalayim, go somewhere else. What was he going to... If you're going to be the leader of the Jewish people, what would you see in Hebron?
Well, I think that's where they were buried.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. That is a beautiful idea, really. The founders of the Jewish people were are the Avos and the Imahos, the ones that were buried in Hebron. And so before David takes the job to lead the Jewish people, so he did service in Hebron. In other words, he went to Hebron, he went to study the Avos, how do the people find it, how should I do it? And so that's
wouldn't he have taken from their spirit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The very fact that this was the essence mm-hmm. of Hebron.
Right. So that's just an interesting thought. I saw that there, and it just seemed like a nice idea. Yeah.
Do you think that he would pray there?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But didn't we say something about people that are, of course, the others are different, I guess, but people that are diligent?
Well, you can't. They don't have power. In other words, you can't say, you know, you can't pray to someone, but you can pray in their merit. You can pray to learn from them, to carry on their ways. There's a nuance to it. In other words, they don't exist beyond the capability of God. In other words, you can't, but you can pray. We do pray at people's gravesites. In other words, they're not the same as Hashem, let's just put it that way. In other words, even the way people do it is we ask them to intercede in our behalf. Mm-hmm. Because the people that we pray to, we know are in heaven, and that we know that they are close to God, and so we ask them to put a good word in for us, you know, or remember your descendants, and the idea there is that when we have this idea of zchus avos, the merit of the forefathers, and that is when we tap into the forces that the greatness of the forefathers, then we get special divine aid. So if we have a relative that was a very good person, and we go and in their memory we seek to we want to remember the good things that they did and be like that. So then we ask Hashem to bestow goodness upon us in that this person started these good things and did these good things, and we're continuing that. And so it's like in their memory, we should, you know, see a blessing from these ways. It's a nuance, but we just want to be careful not to actually pray to them, but it's to pray in their merit. Mm-hmm.
Rabbi, how does this tie in with sukkahs? Mm-hmm. When we enter the sukkah and we invite the Ushpizim and we ask blessings and everything, is that the same thing, or is there a difference?
So that's a good question. We don't actually pray to the Ushpizim there.
We invite them in.
In other words, that's very similar to what we are saying. In other words, that we pray that we can... There's the idea that each one of the days we can get an influence, we can be influenced by the good characteristics of that person who's the guest. It's like on one day we have the guest of Abraham, so we say, I hope I can learn to be a kind person. And then the next day we have Isaac, and we say, I hope I can pray like Isaac. In other words, so we're not actually praying to them, but it's like you said, we hope to be influenced in their ways.
If you're in the presence of a great person, you'll remember their great deeds, and you'll
It'll rub off on us somehow, right. So this, the nuance, though, is that we're not actually praying to them, but we're praying, we're asking that we follow in their ways, that they could maybe, that Hashem will intercede that they'll intercede in front of Hashem for people that do the things that they ask. There was a famous Hasidic Rebbe that said that anybody that does, you know, what he suggests, he'll pull out of Gehenna by their payas. That means that if they're in hell, he'll pull them out by their... In other words, he will intercede on their behalf if they are loyal, if they do X, Y, Z, you know, they follow the tenets of that particular kind of Hasidim. And many Hasidim believe that since they are followers of a very great person, and that great person will have a very clear channel to the Almighty, so if that person will intercede on those that continue in their path and set a certain the challenge, though, is that sometimes people it can be very easily that a person turns that into praying to that person or seeing some kind of power to that person, that we don't believe in that. So a person always has to know, you know, where to draw the line in the prayer. Okay. Moving along, so he goes to Hebron. Verse 2, now, this could be kind of dangerous. David is coming from the Plishti side, and he was still on the most wanted list. And even though Shaul had been killed, the head of the police force and the head of the army, whose name was Avner, was still there. And Avner was from the family, from the tribe of Binyamin, and was loyal to Shaul and to Shaul's descendants. And so in theory, it could still be dangerous for David to come back, but Hashem said to come. David had full faith. He brought his wife, he brought his children, Achinom, Yisrael, Abigail, Ishus, Nevuha, Carmeli. And it mentions them. Now, let's take a minute to mention Avner. We're going to talk about him. So Shaul died. So you would have thought the obvious thing to do would be to anoint David. So now, first of all, not everybody knew that David was anointed by Shmuel. If you remember, that whole thing was surrounded by secrecy. Not everybody knew about it. It wasn't publicized. And secondly, even though a person is anointed to be king, we never know when. In other words, the kings, it could be now, it could be later, it could be at a different point in history. Nobody knows exactly when. One of the things we'll see later with David's sons was that Solomon supposedly was the heir, but he was young. And so the older brother felt that Solomon was too young. I'll take the rulership, and then, you know, 30, 40 years down the road, then it'll be his turn. And it turned out he was wrong. It was a big mistake. But sometimes there's a lack of clarity about exactly when it was meant to take place. Now, the verse says that before Binyamin, the tribe of Binyamin, was born, that God came to Jacob, to Yaakov, and he told him that you will have another child, and kings will come out from him. It says, Malachim mechalatzecha yetzeyu, that kings will come out of your loins, that you'll have descendants that will have kings. And it was plural. So the question was, There was only one king from Binyamin. And we don't know exactly how it works, but eventual kingship, once there's a dynasty, unless that dynasty is killed out, it would continue. So here you had Shaul died, and he had other children. And so Abner understood that it said plural, there would be kings. That means at least two. So Abner understood it was his duty to make sure that the monarchy of Shaul continue. So he put Shaul's son, who we'll find out about in a minute, as the one to rule the Jewish people. And so David comes back, and even now, even after Shaul is dead, it's not so clear yet what's going to happen. But David goes to Hebron, and he brings his wife and his family. Okay. Verse 3. And they live around the cities of Hebron. They live around the suburbs. They move in. Okay. Now, when David comes back, the fellow tribesmen, they had no doubts. They knew who David was. They felt comfortable with him. They weren't going to wait to see what happened with the rest of the Jewish people. They went and they anointed David lemelech al beis Yehuda. They made him king on the tribe of Yehuda. Now, there was one set of people in Yehuda who they were concerned about, and this was the men of Yavesh Gilad, who were very loyal to the memory of Shaul. If you'll remember, they were the ones that risked their lives to do a raid on the Plishtim to save the body of Shaul. They were the ones that did that. Now, the history of it was that they were in great danger of being destroyed, and Shaul came to their aid in the beginning. And so they were very loyal to the house of Shaul because they had been saved by them. So now that David was king, we find that people would be concerned that maybe David wouldn't like them because they were allies with Shaul. So David wanted to send them a message right away that he was not coming to take sides. He was not going to resent those that were on the other side. Unfortunately, one of the challenges of politics is that there's always this bickering that goes on between, you know, we want them to work for the benefit of the country, and they're always working for their party, and they can't seem to work together, and there's a lot of people are talking about this last vote in Massachusetts last week, and a lot of, there's no question, whatever side you believe in, people are angry because they feel like that the politicians are more into the politics of it rather than what's good for us. You know, they're worried about the unions, and they're worried about this one and that one, and well, what about the people, right? And so David, as he becomes king, wants to say that he's not into politics. He doesn't care if you supported the last king. That, in fact, he also supported the last king, and so that's what he's going to say to them. Lamor, Anshe Yavesh Gilad Shekavre Shaul, you people who had buried Shaul and had risked your lives to show honor to Shaul, but Yishadavolam Anshe Yavesh, David sent messengers to them, and he said, Bruchim Atem, I love you guys. You guys are great. I bless you. You're blessed. Asher Sisim Chachesed Azeh, you did this kindness with your master, Im Shaul Vitakviroso, that you buried him. Six, V'yata Yas Hashem, now you should know that God should pay you back for that. It's talked about that when a person does kindness to somebody, when they're alive, it's not a complete kindness because the person will pay you back. You expect to get paid back, or you know in some way you could see it back. But when you do kindness to somebody that's passed on, that's what we call chesed shel emes, kindness of truth, because that person can't pay you back. It's a one-way kindness when you do kindness to somebody that's passed away. You go to the funeral, or you go to the house of mourning, or you do something in their memory. And so these people had risked their lives to save to bury Shaul and his sons. So we said you should be paid back kindness and truth, because this kindness, you weren't going to get anything for it. The Gam Anochi, now, not only will Hashem should pay you back, I also want to pay you back. The Gam Esid Kama Tova Zah Shisim Hadav Rezeh, because it was a great thing.
And once it was so dangerous for them to go.
Yes, remember? Yes, absolutely. Especially after they lost the war. The people were afraid to live by the border. Now, when people have a loss like that, they tend to be weak. They tend to be not know what to do. And so he said, now strengthen yourselves. Put yourself together. Right? In other words, now, techezenu yedei, strengthen your hands. Be strong, men. Kimesa, your master died. V'gam osi moshe beiz Yehudu l'melech aleihem. And now I'm here. You know, they appointed me to the job. So, but he's almost, he's not promising that he can replace Shaul, but he's saying you have to strengthen yourselves. There's some point, you know, with mourners, there's a certain point where there's a few days for crying and there's a few days for comforting. And also, one of the things that we try to do is we try to help them because they are very weak, because they when somebody's alive, they do things for others. And then when they lose that person, so who's going to care for them? Who's going to look after them? And so when the people are mourning, sometimes they don't take care of themselves. They don't think about themselves. And so we tell them, you know, you've got to strengthen yourself. Make up for the loss, so to speak. You've got to, now that you've got to look after yourself. A person has to look after themselves. And so in a certain way, that's the pep talk he's giving them. But it's just interesting that it kind of throws that in over here.
That was what my mother always said when she left a house of mourning. Strengthen yourself.
Oh, really? Okay, right from here.
So that's the husband or the wife or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was her final comment when she left.
Yes, yeah. The Yiddish Imamas, they always knew where it came from. Avner ben Ner. Now we turn towards Avner ben Ner. Now Avner ben Ner was a great person. He was the defense minister, the chief general. Sar Sava Asher L'Shol, he was Shol's main officer. We're going to see that Ish-Boshes was not the man. He was the Shol's son, and he didn't really seem to act like a king, or he didn't seem to have the power of the king, or he was a weak king. So he himself didn't make himself king, but Avner's general kind of propped him up. So that's verse 9. Lochus Ish-Boshes, Shol's son was named Ish-Boshes, the son of Shol, v'yavir mechanaim, and he brought him there. Now, it's the first time that we really hear mention of Shol's son. His name was Ish-Boshes. It's an interesting name. It's not clear if this was really his name. The word Boshes means embarrassment. It could be...
really?
Yeah, that's a busha means to be embarrassed. It could be that some people say that it was embarrassing for them what had happened to their father, you know, and their family, that they had, you know, they had died in war. And so it's kind of showing that they felt that he started off in like a weakened position. There are other derivatives of what other reasons why it could be that's what he was called. Verse 9. Bamilichu, and they brought him. Now, Avner was a very smart politician. He was the leader for Shaul. And one thing we're going to see, that every leader has great people around them. They have people that enable them to get things done. And Avner was one of them. And he took Shaul's son, Ish-Boshes, and he really campaigned for him. And he realized that he'd have to be brought around. So he slowly went from one place to another. Michael Gilad, Velashuri, Velisrael, Velafraim, Velbenyam, Velisrael Kula. So he bit by bit introduced him to the other places, and he made him the king on the rest of Israel. So we have, in a certain way, the land of Israel now is divided. We have Yehuda, which is one of the strongest tribes being led by David. And we have the other 11 tribes being led by the son of Shaul, Ish-Boshes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some Ish-Boshes' name?
That's Yonason's son. We're going to get to him.
Oh.
Okay, he has a similar name, but we'll see. Okay. Now, how old was he? Verse 11. Ben Arboim Shana Ish-Boshes Ben Shol. He was 40 years old. But Malkal Yisrael Ushtaim Shanim, and he was only king for 2 years. Ach Beis Yehuda Hayuach Rei David. Now, the challenge is the next verse. But he Misper Hayamim, and the number of years that David was king in Hebron Al Beis Yehuda was 7 years and 6 months. So, David was king 7 years and 6 months, and he was king for 2 years. So what happened the other 5 years? So some people, were the other 5 years the first at the beginning of the reign of David, or were they at the end of the reign of David? It's not so clear. So one view has it that the first 5 years, there was no king in the land of Israel. In other words, David went to Yehuda, they made him king, and the land of Israel took their time. It wasn't until 5 years later that they made Ish-Boshes king. The other view is that it was at the beginning. Right away, they made Ish-bosheth king, and it took them 5 years to decide to make David the king. It's just a question of, it's not so clear exactly how these 7 years happened. The only thing I would say is that it didn't happen right away. It wasn't, you're here, you're king. It took time. It was the Jewish people are very independent people, very deliberate. So let's see. Verse 12, Yetzi Abner ben Ner, Vavde Yishboshes ben Shomachanan, they went to Gibeon. But Yoav, now, David's chief general is Yoav, and he's the son of Sruya. Now, Sruya was David's sister. That's an interesting just fact to know. And it's very unusual that we don't hear who the father was. In other words, we keep calling him Ben Sruya, the son of Sruya. So some people say she overshadowed the father because she was David's sister. Or the strength, in her family, she was the powerhouse, except that she was a lady. But that was, she had three very great sons. We're going to see the three most greatest people of the time were the daughters, were the sons of Sruya. So Yoav, the son of Sruya, would of course David's sister, so that he's David's brother-in-law. I'm sorry, he's David's nephew. He's David's nephew. And we're going to see that perhaps created a problem. When your nephew, it's hard to get rid of your nephew if he doesn't do what he's supposed to or whatever. He was David's great leader. His name was Yoav, Abnei David. And David had his men that were with him all the time. Yotsu. V'yish Hashem, now, there's this challenge here, and everybody knew it, that the Jewish people weren't meant to be divided. It's almost like, you have, two shuls on the same block or something. It's just like there's a certain rivalry that you're going to have. Like, it's just not meant to be. The shuls are not a good example because, there's two Jews and three shuls or whatever. The guy, everybody wants to have options. That's a different story. But in a government, you want to have one government for everybody, one king for everybody. And so it was clear that this was just a temporary solution, and that sooner or later it would have to be decided as to who would reign over the Jewish people. And it was also clear that Yehuda was not separate. We're not meant to be separate. We're one people. And we separate from our brothers, but it's a temporary thing. We want to find a way to get together. It happened to be that the leadership of both sides happened to cross one day. Vietkashu means it wasn't intended. It wasn't like they said, let's have a powwow. But it just happened that on a certain time, they trained and they did defense, the different armies, and they just happened to meet opposite each other. And each one was on a different side of the river, on a different side of the stream. So, the interesting idea happens here. Now, this we're going to see was a tragedy. This episode we're not proud of, but it may be that they meant well. Let's see. Vayomer Avner El Yoav. So, the two different sides, there was no civil war. There was never, we weren't sure who the leader should be. Each side felt, the tribe of Yehuda felt David should be the leader, and the tribe of the other tribes felt that Ish-bosheth should be the leader. And they weren't going to fight each other for that. Jews don't, we don't kill each other. That's not our way. So, but this had to be resolved. So Abner had an interesting idea. He said, let's have a big wrestling match, and whoever wins will be the, will take the prize. In other words, and sometimes in battle they would do that, rather than having a costly battle where with lots of casualties, and let's see whose side Hashem is on. Let's have, we'll select a few and you'll select a few, and we'll have a little powwow and see who's right here. So this is what Abner suggests. Vayomer Abner, Yoav, he calls to Yoav, Yekumuna, you know what, I got an idea. Let's let the lads, have it out with each other. Let's let them have a little bit of fighting, and then we'll maybe see whose side God is on. That's really kind of what he's suggesting. The rabbis find fault with the words that he uses, v'sachaku. We're going to see that this ended in bloodshed. And these two people were on a first-name basis. They were friends. If you'll remember, it wasn't that long ago, just a few years earlier, that we were all in the same armies fighting the Plishtim together. Sometimes you see that in Israeli politics, where the different generals are getting up in a different side, and then all of a sudden they make a party and they're all working together. They were all in the army together. They were all buddies. They all you know, slept out on the ground and fought against the, you know, different campaigns. And there's a certain camaraderie in the army that people get, that they, you know, they fought battles together, they risked their lives for each other. And so Yoav and Avner were, we don't know exactly, but they, first name basis, they called out to each other, and they thought, you know what, let's have this little little powwow. You know, they're not real clear, but as a, we hold the superiors responsible. And when you're in charge of people, and people are, they're going to be casualties, we expect the leaders to anticipate that. And when you have a bunch of soldiers with, you know, sharp things, and, you know, when they're doing the, you know, the jousting or whatever, the you have to expect that there'll be casualties. I mean, just the, you know, whenever the gangs have their fights, there are always people that get, that's just the result of it. And so, In a Avner, we're going to see, is in a certain way he's punished for not foreseeing that, the way this happened. But the idea that there would be a rivalry, or, you know, like a football game or whatever, it's not clear what was intended. But Avner throws out the gauntlet and he says, you know what, let's have a little show over here. So Yom-Yom, he says, okay, Yakumo, why not? Sounds perfectly innocent. But like we said, unfortunately, these are people that are trained for war, and they're doing what they're doing very seriously, and it doesn't end so well. And they choose 12. 12 is the number of the tribes. 12 for Binyamin, Lishboshes, Ben Shol. And they choose 12 from the tribe of David. So they figure it's going to be an even fight. And before they know it, each one is grabbing each other's head. And the people are armed. You know, people shouldn't carry, like, loaded ammunition. Now they have very strict rules in schools that you're not allowed to bring weapons to school. And the kids get into big trouble if they bring a hunting knife in, and they get expelled. And why? Because if you have adolescents with weapons, it's asking for trouble. You know, no matter, they just want to show and tell. No, it's not a good idea. That, I mean, they're very strict about that. And they have these, you hear on the radio about this kid, he just wanted to show, he didn't mean it, and why did he get expelled, and this and that. It's because inevitably, if you'll have weapons with, you know, you have 18-year-olds, and, you know, and it's a dangerous situation. Don't have loaded ammunition around. So, unfortunately, they didn't see that. Vifo Yachtav, and before they knew it, they started fighting seriously. That was the name of the place. Verse 17. And before they knew it, it turned into a war. It calls it a war. I mean, it was not just a jousting match. It was not just this little fun thing. Let the young lads have some fun. This is not fun. It just became very serious. Sometimes you see, there is this challenge. We have this problem. If you ever go, the Jewish Community Center always has this problem that Jews take sports very seriously, and that at the sports games, sometimes the fathers get into fights. And there was a case last year where somebody, you know, slugged somebody else, and they're supposed to set the example for the kids. I shouldn't say Jewish, but just sometimes people really get into it. You know, it looks like they're just having fun. And the women, they laugh at the whole thing, because they get so serious about it. It's just a call, you know. They're yelling at the referee, my kid didn't get the bat first, and this and that. And if you're not associated with it, you look at it and you say, what are these people getting so? But if you've ever been to a game, I'm sure you have, you know, like you go to, there are parents that are really into it, you know. And if the referee calls the wrong call, or the coach doesn't let your kid have his turn, you watch out. I mean, there are parents that will go after you, and people are intense. You have to, people can be intense. And so this war, it started as a jousting match, and it got very intense, and it turned into a war. And people were killed, which perhaps the leaders should have foresaw. But we're not finished yet. So it was a difficult day. Vinagaf Avner. And Avner and the men of Binyamin had a bad day. Banchi Yisrael Livnei Avdei David. And David's men were by and large, they were the most successful. And again, this is going to be the pattern. It was clear that Hashem was with David. V'yusham Shlosha B'nei Tzruya. Now, Yoav, David, and his chief man was Yoav, he had two other brothers. Remember, there are three brothers altogether, the sons of Shruya. Now, just like David HaMelech was a great warrior, and he was. He was from the greatest warriors we've ever had, the bravest. The rabbis have a tradition that he killed 1,000 people in a single battle, hand-to-hand combat. I mean, just physically imagine hundreds of... It's unbelievable. And David's brothers would also have been great, you know, very strong. And they went up against huge numbers. So the people of Shruya, they were Yoav, Avishai, and Asahel. Those are the three famous brothers. And Yoav was the defense minister. Now, Asahel, who was the youngest of them, I believe, Kal Baraglav, he was famous for being very fast. It's a good thing in war to be fast. If you get fast, you've got all the moves. So he was just like, he was like a deer. That's how fast he was. A deer is like the fastest of the, you know, you look at a deer, in seconds it moves. So he had the speed. He had an interesting thing. He decided that, David should be king, and it was clear to him that David was chosen by Hashem. And the only problem was Avner, the chief general of the other side. So he was going to take out the chief general. Again, this was that happened to the Maccabees also. Remember the guy and the elephant and the, you know, you got to, if you could take out the leader of the enemy, then everything else will fall into place. You just got to take out the leader, right? So he decides he himself personally is going to go after Yoav. Now, the generals, generally, they stayed out of this. They weren't into this. You know, they were in the background. They weren't going to risk their lives. Asahel runs after Avner. And he's the fastest guy. He can catch him. And he wouldn't turn away to the left or the right. He had a single-minded devotion. This was his focus in the battle. He's going after Avner. Now, we have a tradition that Avner was the strongest warrior, maybe of all time. He was Shaul's chief, but physically he was a very strong, mighty person. And he sees this younger brother of Yoav coming after him, and the Yifa and Avner Achrav, and Avner turns around, and he sees this, now Avner had other people around him, other soldiers, but he sees this one guy keeps coming after him. So he says, I know you, that's a soul. Are you him? He says, yeah, that's me. It's so funny. I mean, here they're in the middle of the battle, and they say, oh, how you doing? You know, and they're trying to kill each other. But that's the tragedy of brothers fighting, you know, they're cousins. They're all from Binyamin and from Yehuda, but he says, oh, that you must be a soul. He says, yeah, that's me. You know, just let me kill you, you know. That's the tragedy of it. So Omer lo Avner. So Avner has a discussion with him. He says, you know what? He says, do me a favor. Go to the left or go to the right. You know, don't come after me. Go after one of the other soldiers. Go to the left, go to the right. I mean, you know what? You're a strong warrior. Now, a warrior can't retreat in battle. That would look bad. That would look, you know, once you make the move, you can't just go back and turn around and, you know. So he says, you know what? I'm the general. Don't go after me. Go after one of the majors. Go after one of the colonels. Go to the left or go to the right. The SM, and you know what? He wasn't saying, take his, when they play these war games, you take the colors of the other side. You know, take his garments, you know, cut off his medals, you know, go, don't follow me around. Just, you know, he tried to give him an out. And 22, this fellow, so he wouldn't budge. He knew what he wanted to do, and he did not move. He did not pay any attention to what Avner said, you know, do it. Okay, so 22. But Yosef owed Avner labor. Avner tried to tell him again. He said, oh, so, sir, look, go away from me. He says, he warns him. He says, you know what? You know, he was coming after him with weapons. He says, Lama akecha arza. He said, if you keep coming after me with the spears, I'm going to have to take you out. V'ech esa pana el yoav achicha. How am I going to talk to your brother? And in other words, he understood, if I wound you or I attack you, then it's going to become a personal battle. We have to work with each other. And this is not the result we want. So please do me a favor, you know. I don't want to fight you, you know. Don't ask for trouble. You know what? Go fight one of the other guys. How am I going to deal with your brother if I have to take you out? But Yaman Lasur, and this soul would not go away.
He started the whole thing. I mean, Avner and Judge. Yeah. How am I going to talk to your brother? We started the battle.
Yeah, so they meant to have this jousting match and to take the colors of each side. They didn't mean that people should be killed. They didn't mean that people should really die. Nobody expected that. Asol wouldn't leave him alone. Avner finally got close to him. Avner hit him with the back of his spear. Elachomish hit him on the fifth rib. Anybody know what's on the fifth rib? That's the heart. Killed him instantly. V'teitzei achanis machurav, and the hearts v'afu v'yifu sham v'yamusu. And this is a big tragedy. The brother of the fifth rib, I believe, and he killed him. It was in self-defense. The issue is, could he not have wounded him? Did he have to hit him on the fifth rib? Like, of all places to hit him, there are other ribs that he would have hit. There wouldn't have been a fatal wound. So we'll see. That was the complaint that Yoav had against him, that he understood, he knew his brother Esau wouldn't leave Avner alone. But couldn't Avner, if Avner wanted, couldn't he have wounded him also? Or maybe not. And
what is the back end of the spear? The handle? How could it run him through the handle?
Oh, I don't know. I kind of just thought it was a backward motion instead of like he was... In other words, he was running away and then he flipped it. Like he back-ended it, so to speak. But I don't know. Anybody have a theory about the back end?
It would have had to go through him.
Came out from behind it.
I mean,
but is there a front of a spear and the end of a spear, or is it like two sides? Or?
Well, the front of the spear is the point.
Oh, so you think he did it without the point, the back of the...
No, if it pierced him and went all the way through, then it had to be the point.
The point
the
also,
spear.
Right, just the back point or the
because
side.
Because the back of it is a flat piece that's attached to a rod or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a great warrior would have lots of tricks or would have, you know, maybe people didn't realize that the back of the spear was sharper. But at any rate, he felt threatened and he defended himself, which you're allowed to do. And unfortunately, Esau got killed. There's a pasuk later that Shlom HaMelech wrote, which it says that the strongest person of the time was Avner. The fastest person of the time was Esau. And in he writes in Mishle, he says, not the strongest person doesn't necessarily win the battle, nor the fastest person the race. And so Esau went into this thinking that he's so fast that nobody would be able to stop him. And so what happened was that he didn't realize that the spear would be backhanded. He wasn't looking. Had he seen it coming, he would have moved, but people don't always see it coming. And we're going to see Avner relied on his strength, and perhaps he also, but Esau dies. V'yirfu Yoav Avishai, the other two brothers, Yoav and Avishai, they're running after Avner. V'ashemishba, and his son's coming up. They've been fighting all night long. V'ashemishba, give us Amma, Shir al Pnei, Geg Derech HaMidbar, given. And they fought. If you can go to Eretz Yisrael, you could probably trace this exact location of the battle. V'yikapsu Beit Binyamin. Now, when people saw that this had turned into a battle, the other people of Binyamin came to reinforce Avner, who was he was running back. In other words, he was retreating. Achrei Avner, v'hila gud achas, and there was enough of a band of them that it stopped the battle. Because then it would turn into even a bigger war, and they also stood on one side of the valley. V'yikra Avner el Yoav, and Avner calls to Yoav, and he says, Halanetzak tochu cherev. He says, are you going to fight forever? Enough is enough. It's a very interesting word. Halanetzak, forever will the sword devour. Halo yedati ki moratiya v'achona. He said, you knew this would be bitter. You knew that if we went to war, that it wouldn't be pleasant. But masay lo tomar la'am l'ashu. When are you going to stop this? So it's very interesting. He started it. And now that he started it, he didn't want it to go this far. So he complains to Yoav, and he says, Yoav, enough is enough. He meant it for a few hours, not to keep on going. So Yoav says back to him, Yoav, he swears by Hashem. He says, Ki lule dibarti, he says, where you been? Why did you wait so long to call it off? Ki azma boka na la'am ish, if you had called it off much earlier, there wouldn't have been so many casualties. And so this is the challenge of war. It's such a hard thing, you know, when to know, when to call it off, when to start, when not to start. And you have these two generals, and you have a tragedy. V'yiska Yoav b'shofar, so Yoav pulls out the shofar and he calls off the troops. V'yamda kolam v'lo rachu od achrei Yisrael. And it left such a bad taste in their mouth, there was no more of this fighting. There was no more v'lo yisifu od lochem. This wasn't the way to resolve the issue. They saw that there was not going to be a civil war. There was not going to be... They thought, maybe let the soldiers decide this. They knew that somehow this would get decided about who would lead, whether it would be David, whether it be Ishbosheth. They thought that let the warriors decide it, and war leads to tragedy, especially war amongst brothers. It's not the way for brothers to handle things. So after this, that was it. Now, Abner, he... It wasn't so clear if Yoav knew yet that his brother was killed. And Abner didn't want to take any chances, so he and his men, he packed out of there that night very quickly. The war ended, you quickly disband. He quickly disbanded. Yoav returned after the battle. He gathered the people together. And when they counted their losses, they were 19 people killed and Esau. Asol was equal to the other 19. He was so great. Ba'avdei David, now on the other side, Mibinyamin, Ba'anshi Abner, Sholos Meis Vashishim, 360. So you see, it was a very one-sided battle. There were 19 to 360. But we view one person as even being significant. So to us, even, you know, any loss of life is a whole world. It's a big tragedy. And so you might say, for, you know, what's to a big army, the generals in war, what's a big deal? It was a big deal. The Yisu SSO, they carried a soul, Bikru, Bekebra, they buried him in Bethlehem. Yehu Kol, Laila, Yova, Nashav, Yerlem, Bechevron. And they went back to Hebron. Vatihiyah Melchama. Now, unfortunately, it couldn't be resolved, and it was an ongoing battle. It was no longer a battle of life and death, but it was a battle just the same for the leadership of the Jewish people. Bein Beis Shol, between the house of Shol, or Bein Beis David. The David holach v'chazek, and David, as things went on, he got stronger and stronger. Ubei Shol holchim v'dalim. And the kingdom of Shol became less and less. So this is the story. So Shaul's son does take over for him, but it's a weak government, and things get weaker and weaker as time goes on. And we're going to see it starts to become clear that eventually David is going to emerge as the winner. But it's a process. Things don't happen immediately. No such luck. In other words, even David HaMelech, even though Shaul and Yonasan were finally no longer chasing him, it was a slow process that would lead him into becoming the king of Israel.